Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans studios.
And back to Tony D.
Again, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight. Let's get a lowdown on the NBA. Jeremy Wu joining us from SI.com, who's also at the Warriors-Knicks game tonight at Madison Square Garden. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's up?
All right, let me ask you this about Golden State, because Draymond Green is getting some attention. He had a triple-double again. But should he be getting a lot more attention than what he's getting for what he's doing this year?
I think it's kind of appropriate. I think it's tough on that team. You know, they got so many great players. Obviously, Curry, you know, is going to get the attention. You know, he was great tonight, especially. I think he took advantage of Porzingis a little bit. You saw it. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe he deserved to start the All-Star game, but you get why probably got voted in. But definitely a breakout year for him, even more so than last year, and really a fun player to watch, especially up close.
What are we learning about Golden State as they keep knocking off wins? I mean, we talk about 72 and trying to get the record, but overall, what are we taking away from all of these, this 44-win, 4-loss season so far?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the thing that really stuck out to me was that, you know, Curry, I mean, you know, Steph had his worst shooting game of the season. He was 5 of 17. He only had 13 points, but everybody else on the team, you know, was fantastic. And I think, you know, Green had the triple-double. Thompson only missed 4 shots. He had 34 points. I think seeing that type of contribution, you know, from everyone else in the team, especially on nights when Curry's not playing well, is a great sign in terms of, you know, them being able to string together enough wins to make it happen. You know, I think it's very, very much in the realm of possibility. Do I think it'll happen? Not necessarily, but I, you know, it's getting closer and closer. And I mean, it's looking like I think they definitely have a shot at 100%.
When you look at the Knicks, their opponent tonight, are they building the right thing in New York? Porzingis is getting a lot of love and attention, but overall, are the Knicks building something, or is there still some trouble down the line?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's tough to know. I think in terms of like net movement, I think it's been a positive for them this season. Just, you know, having Porzingis, you know, as a real serious building block is huge. You know, I think that there was a stretch a few weeks ago where they were playing great basketball and they were fun to watch. And, you know, it seems like these guys like each other, which helps. You know, they're bringing a little bit more buzz to New York, you know, than in the past couple of years, and that's tangible. But as far as building for the future, I think that, you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be. You know, will they make a trade and start going younger to build around Porzingis, or will they try to win next year? I'm not sure yet, but I think it's definitely a tangible improvement.
Is it there a feeling in New York that Derek Fisher is getting this down and is the coach that Phil Jackson thought he was going to be?
Yeah, that I'm not sure. You know, I'm not on the beat with the team every day, but yeah. I think you definitely do have to credit Fisher. I think that, you know, for all of the crap he took, you know, especially last season, I think that it's definitely been a noticeable improvement. Like the offense, you know, still kind of didn't look great. I think they're still doing a lot of weird kind of, you know, they're building an offense around a lot of long twos from Aflalo and Carmelo, which is not necessarily, you know, in this league, the most efficient way to win games. But I think he's done a good job. I think he deserves maybe a little bit more credit, to be sure.
Jeremy Wu, again, SI.com on the NBA. Jeremy, when you watch the LA Clippers, and today they beat the Bulls by 27 or something along those lines, and they're doing this without Blake Griffin, the comments that people are saying about the Clippers is, well, they're winning a lot of games against teams that aren't very good, and that while that is true, are you seeing a better Clippers team without Blake Griffin despite the competition?
Yeah, you know, I mean, are they really better without Blake? I don't think so. You know, it's tough to say that. I think that's a stretch. But are they playing great? Yeah, definitely. And I think that seeing them being able to, you know, they use a lot of small lineups today. You know, the bench is playing really well. I think that's definitely just a net plus for them to sort of figure out what they have. And I'm curious to see that, you know, when Blake returns, you know, if they'll keep going small and try to be playing Blake at center. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the answer. But I think that they should hopefully, you know, take some confidence away from this. I mean, they have some talent. You know, the bench is still, you know, they're playing great, but it's still kind of messy. It's like really hard to know what it's going to be when he comes back. But again, for them, it's, you know, they can't be too down about, you know, what are they, like 15-3 without Griffin now? I mean, that's massive. So
the Cleveland Cavaliers beat San Antonio. They're 4-1 under Tyronn Lue. What's the difference of this Cavaliers team than the Dave Blatt Cavaliers team?
Definitely. I think, you know, the effort has been, you know, at least visibly a little bit better. And I think that, you know, they're playing a little faster, doing some things offensively, getting guys involved. I think LeBron did a great job setting the tone last night against the Spurs. And, you know, I think that they still may need to make a trade or two to really be able to compete with, you know, Golden State. And, you know, that's obviously, I think the expectations are such with them that that's what everyone's ultimately going to measure them against. You know, can they get to the finals and how will they do against the Warriors? But I think you got to credit them a little bit, you know, whether or not you agreed with firing Blatt. It seems like they made the move at a time where it's sort of letting them figure stuff out, and they have, you know, a pretty soft schedule going into the All-Star break. So I think that they are definitely trending up again.
I kind of conceded Cleveland in the East, but Toronto's now won 11 straight. Are the Raptors a threat?
Definitely, without a doubt, without a doubt. And I think the Raptors still are not quite getting enough respect. You know, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Cleveland wins the East, but they're still the favorites. But, you know, Toronto's playing great. I think they're at 11 in a row now. The confidence is high. And the thing is, like, you know, DeMar Carroll's still out. You know, they haven't really had their full deck yet, so to speak. So I'm curious to see, you know, if, you know, a fully healthy Toronto team, you know, what kind of impact they're going to have in the postseason. I think they have 100% the talent, you know, to do that. But they've also, you know, they haven't won a first-round series in the last couple of years. And they got to get, you know, it's going to be one series at a time for them. And I think that's why, at least for me, it's sort of why I'm, you know, being a little bit hesitant in terms of, you know, playoff forecast for them. Just got to get over that hump.
Right now, the way you see the Western Conference, is it a two-team race between the Warriors and Spurs, a three-team race with the Thunder, or a two-and-a-half-team race with the Thunder?
I'm willing to call it a three-team race. I think that, you know, the Thunder, the thing about them is, you know, they're the only team, I think, that can really match the Warriors in the sense that they can score a lot of points, you know, very quickly, you know, the velocity of their offense, you know, with Durant. You know, they can sort of shoot their way back into games. And that's sort of why I think they, you know, they might be getting a little slept on just because of the discourse, you know, with the Warriors and Spurs. But I really think they have the parts to do it. And I think that, you know, again, they're a team that could also benefit. You know, I would be curious to see. You would think they would be buyers, you know, given that they're trying to keep Durant. You know, they want to send the right message. You know, you'd think that if there's a trade to make, they'll make it and beef up a little bit more. But I think they have the talent. I like their role players for the most part. I think that they are in that mix. I think, again, I think if it's 2-3 Spurs Thunder, I think that'll be definitely a close series to watch.
Do you see any Billy Donovan's fingerprints on this Thunder team? Because, I mean, Scott Brooks dealt with injuries and got let go. Donovan seems to be just rolling the ball out with these guys. But do you see a Billy Donovan fingerprint on this team?
Yeah, I think it shows through just, I think, just how smooth the transition has been overall. And, I it's always tough to quantify because, you know, when you have Durant and Westbrook, two, you know, arguably top five players, it's, you know, you're going to win more than you lose, I think, a lot of the time. But, you know, it seems like it's been such a smooth transition. I feel like the fact that we haven't heard a lot about Billy Donovan is telling, too. You know, it's like, that's a great point that you make.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't heard so much about, you know, what he's been doing, but maybe that's because he's doing such a good job. You know what I mean? The silence, I think, is kind of says a lot about the job he's done.
Definitely plug and play, right, with Westbrook and Durant.
Right.
If you get them healthy, it's half the battle of winning some games.
Right.
Jeremy Wu, SI.com. Great talking to you as always, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Catch you soon.
And again, Jeremy Wu from SI.com talking some NBA. So Tyronn Lue's got things rolling in Cleveland. But like I said earlier, the Toronto Raptors have won 11 in a row. So I think Cleveland wins the East. Okay. But can we make it a little interesting? I mean, this is the thing Adam and I have kind of been talking about. There's like three teams. And so now you want to add Toronto a little bit. You definitely want to look at the Thunder. The Thunder really should not be overlooked in the West. I will say right now, Jeremy's a little bit more of an expert on it than I am because he covers it on a daily basis, but I see the West as 2.5. I'll give the Thunder a half. They're not quite there yet. If they win some really big games down the stretch, I'll add them in the mix. But right now, with Golden State winning like they are, and San Antonio 25-0 at home, that's going to be important in the playoffs. Right now, it's 2.5. Not quite 3 yet, 2.5. But it could be 3 very, very, very soon. I think the Warriors and Thunder are going to play each other sometime this week. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up next, are this date in Super Bowl history, getting you caught up with the history of this great game on this date back in 1988. Super Bowl 22 was played between Washington and Denver, and it was rather historic. We'll have it for you next, Yahoo Sports Radio.